Somebody came up to me last night after the vigil mass Saturday evening and told me, he said, you know, why is it that the priest didn't stop to help the victim on the way? And I said, well, I'm not sure, because I didn't know where he was going with the question. And he said, because he'd already been robbed. Yeah, delayed reaction. But the truth is, the priest and the Levite didn't stop because of the Jewish laws regarding cleanliness. That if you touched a dead animal, or that if you touched blood, particularly of another person, you had to purify yourself before offering the Sabbath sacrifice. And of course, the priests were the ones who offered the sacrifice, and the Levites participated in that in their own way. So when Old Testament or New Testament scholars look at this gospel parable, that's often the reason they attribute, is the cleanliness laws of the Judaic law. But this gospel really is in two parts. The first part is the scholar asking Jesus the question, what must we do to have eternal life? And Jesus answers with those two great commandments that we know well. You shall love God and love neighbor. But the scholar, thinking himself very clever, tries to say, well, who is our neighbor? And of course, the parable explains that second part. I think for us in our day and age, the question is not so much who is our neighbor, but what is love? To say that we love the Lord our God, or that we love our neighbor, well, what does that mean and what does that look like? We live in an era where the notion and idea of love is very distorted, whether that's within the family or in an era in which love is turned inward very frequently, kind of a narcissism, love of self. But the Lord calls us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our being, with all of our strength, with all of our mind, our whole person, all of who we are, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Love has always as its focal point the good of the other. And what is the good? The good of the other is always meant to help this person, this individual, become who they were made to be. And we were made, every one of us, for life and happiness with God. That's what we were made for. And how that plays out and develops in each person's life is different. How we find that life and happiness with God is unique. But that's what the good is always aimed at. It's a deep philosophical point. What is the good? The good is whatever helps something to become what it was made to be. In philosophy classes, classic examples are, well, what makes for a good pen or pencil? Why is it good? Well, it does what it's made for. It writes, or it erases. If it doesn't do that, it's not a good pen or a pencil. What makes for a good human being? Or what's good for human beings? Whatever leads them to life and happiness with God, to eternal life. And if it doesn't do that, it's not good. It doesn't help us become who we were made to be. And that's what love is. Love is acting and doing on behalf or for another person for their good. And that takes different shapes. That takes the shape of kindness and compassion and mercy in relationships. It takes the form, sometimes, of reproving, rebuking, chastising, correcting. It takes the form of sacrifice, of I'm willing to lay down my own plans and desires for what I perceive was the good of somebody else. But its best, purest form takes the shape of the cross. Jesus hanging upon the cross. Because God, who is love, the Father who sends his only begotten Son, pours himself out completely for us and offers his life for our good, so that we may have eternal life. The best image of love that we have is hanging on the cross. Which leads into the second part of this gospel, the parable of the Good Samaritan and the person who's robbed. And I think it's easy for all of us to relate sometimes to the priest or the Levite. You know, we see that person or we know that person in need in our community or on the street, or we read about them in the news, and we don't do anything about it. We pass by. We're busy, we have things to do with our lives, or perhaps we're stretched thin already, we pass by. Or sometimes perhaps we relate to the Samaritan. We take the time to help. We take the time to serve. Those are very common interpretations, but I'd like to offer a different one. We are not so much the Levite or the priest or the Good Samaritan, as we are the person who's been robbed, who's been beaten, and left for dead. And what robs us? What assaults us? Sin. Sin robs us of the good. Sin robs us of what we were made to be and who we were made to be. Life and happiness with God. And who finds us on the way? Christ. Christ finds us along the way in our brokenness. And he bandages our wounds and he heals us. And what's the inn that he takes us to? The church. This place. He takes us to the church and gives us to the church to care for us until he comes again on his way back. And in the church, we have the medicines of the sacraments and scripture and communion with one another and its teachings. All the things that we need to help us achieve and realize the good in our life, who and what we were made for. That's the purpose of the parable. Pope Francis often equates the church as a hospital for sinners, and rightly so. He wasn't the first to coin the phrase, but it certainly is a good image for us to think of in this gospel. That if the Lord in our brokenness finds us and drops us off at the hospital for sinners, the church. Well, one of the things that hospitals these days do, they want you to get better soon. And then they send you back out. And should you get injured or fall down again, you come back to the hospital. While the church as a hospital is a beautiful image, what the church is also not is a long-term resort. We're meant to be healed and go back out. Whatever that is, into our families, into our workplaces, into the world. The point of this gospel is about love and the good and the church and Christ. It's much more than a story of two great commandments, albeit them important. And it's much more than a story about whether or not we ignore or pay attention to those needy in our community. We're all needy. We all need care and attention of the divine physician. And if you look at the church as a hospital for sinners, the vestibule, every part of the church is a part of the hospital. The vestibule of the church is admitting, so is the baptismal font. The operating room is back in the confessional. The communion line is the dispensary, which we receive the medicine to help us continue on. Do we avail ourselves to this, especially during this year of mercy, in which our Holy Father has asked us to pray for mercy on the whole world, to act mercifully towards one another, to live out Christ's mercy in a real concrete way? And if the church is a hospital, do we go to it for checkups? Do we receive the medicine that we need? All good questions to ask ourselves this week. The Lord is calling us to heal us, to bring us to eternal life. Will we let Him? For our good and the good of the whole world.